an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in a sweet breath.
By establishing the idea of this interactive, we are preparing ourselves for the year 2021. And prophetically, the Lord is saying 2021 is our year of overflow, overflow, overflow. Glory to God. It's a year of overflow. Glory to God. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Even though things are hard according to the economy of the nations, the Lord is saying, for us that are his people, we shall enjoy sustained abundance. Sustained abundance is what we call overflow. Glory to God. And we establish that overflow or abundance is a gift. Abundance is a consciousness. Abundance is a responsibility. And so we have come to realize that God is ready to give as much as he can give. But it is now our responsibility to make room for more. Tell your neighbor, we are making room for more. So to maximize abundance means to make the best of abundance. And I was able to establish yesterday that for you to be able to maximize abundance, the number one thing you must take very seriously is purpose. God is intentional. Everything he does it for a reason. So Jeremiah 29 verse 11 from the Amplified. Now make us to understand, God has a thought out plan of welfare for us. Glory to God. If God is intentional, everyone that will benefit from his sense of intent must be in alignment with him. Glory to God. So that's the idea of purpose. Hallelujah. So today we want to proceed along that direction. But today we are going to be coming down a bit more practical. I was able to establish the principles around which purpose is found. Please, if you are joining and you were not online yesterday or you were not present on site, please ensure you get the part one. It is foundational. It is basic. If you can grasp the focus, the content of that discussion and camp around it, I can assure you, you are setting up yourself for a life of overflow. Glory to God. If you believe that with me, say amen. So we established yesterday how we can live, how we can find your life's purpose, how you can find a purpose for living. Hallelujah. So in the part two of this discussion, I want to share with us this evening on fulfilling your personal ministry. Fulfilling your personal ministry. Fulfilling your personal ministry. Glory to God. Can we turn our Bible to Exodus chapter 31? Exodus 31. We'll start reading from verse number 1. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Huri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. In all manner of workmanship. Now look up. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to walk in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given him men. I've given him with Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Glory to God, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. If any, please stay in verse 10. If any would not walk, neither should he eat. Father, thank you for your word. We appreciate you because you are the giver of understanding. In you there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift comes from you. Thank you for the gift you have given to us. Thank you for you have called us to be your workmen. Thank you for the abundance that comes with it. We receive your words tonight with understanding. Make your word plain through my lips. Let it be practical. Let it be understood. I rebuke every spirit of misunderstanding and confusion. I ask that your word will come with simplicity. And at the end of this discussion, everyone will have glory to return to you. Blessed be your name, great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Fulfilling your personal ministry. We have been able to establish that one of the ways of maximizing abundance is to find purpose. However, it is important that we understand the practical application of that statement, because there have been a lot of confusion in my few years of helping people find their life mission. There are a lot of questions that keep popping up. So please, if you have any question, I would like you to begin to write them down, because I'm going to be stopping. Yesterday was foundational, so I had to take time to do a lot of foundational discussion. But today, I'm going to be responding more to questions. But for us to have a direction of our questions, I want to establish what I actually began talking about yesterday. I emphasized that purpose is more of an intent than a work and then an accomplishment. See, a life on a mission, a life that we believe to the fullest, number one, must be lived from the clarity, from the understanding of the intent of who? The Creator, God Himself. What is God after? Why did He create life? Why did He make man? Why am I born again? Why am I born? Who am I? Now, finding answers to these questions is the first responsibility of every man that wants to live a fulfilled life. Amen. Number two, anyone that wants to live a fulfilled life must understand God's view of work. Work. Work in this context is not just talking about job. No. It's not just talking about what you do to earn a living. Even though a part of it is what you do to earn a living, because your livelihood is in your assignment. Praise God. Your livelihood is in your what? Is in your assignment. Are you hearing that? Your livelihood. God is going to be sending abundance to where? Your place of what? Assignment. Write it down. God sends abundance to your place of assignment. That's why Miles Monroe said, leaving your place of assignment is heading for an asylum. Leaving your place of assignment is heading for struggles. Fish is naturally designed to find his habitation in water. The day fish decides that he will no longer stay on water, he now wants to stay on nest, or he wants to fly in the sky, he dies. Take a man from his place of assignment, he dies. That's the reason why, as long as you don't find your assignment, you will never attract divine assistance. Every God's allocation is found in your place of location. So, basic. Abundance responds to purpose. Number two, abundance responds to work, assignment. And then number three, abundance responds to accomplishment, results. In other words, your increase is in your sitting. Listen, your increase is in your fruitfulness. Your increase is in doing what your Father wants you to do, how he wants you to do it, and bringing out the results he wants you to what? To bring out. Let me give you practical, biblical example. The Bible told us in Luke chapter, is it 19 verse 13 now? Luke 19 verse 13. Quickly, media, let's go there. The Bible says he was to travel, and then he called his servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. Give it to us in the Amplified. Occupy till I come. Huh? He said, buy and sell with these while I go. In other words, engage it profitably while I go. Praise God. And then give us verse 15. He said, when he returned, after he had received the kingdom, he ordered the servants to what? To come. He called them that he might know how much one had what? Made. Everybody say accomplishment. God doesn't do bad business. He can't put all these gifts in your life for no reason. No, now you can't be this gifted and then you are struggling. You can't be this loaded and then you are stranded. Can I say that again? You can't be this loaded and be stranded. So your first understanding in life should be the master's intent. Your second understanding in life should be your assignment along the master's intent. And your third understanding in life is how to multiply what you have received. Because it is in that multiplication that abundance is what? Is channeled. They used to tell us in the Polytechnic, He said, the reward for a job well done is more job, as it were. So, in God's scheme of things, the reward for a work more done is more reward. Praise God. Because it's going to give you more work. And the more work he gives to you, the more reward he opens you to accomplish. Glory to God. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Because that was what happened to one of those men. The one that had five. The Bible says he came and said he had made how many? Additional 10. Sorry, the one that had 10 and the one that had 5. Now, guess what? The one that had 1, he now told them to take that 1 he refused to multiply. Who did they tell him to give it to? Huh? So what did he now say? To whom much is given? No, that's not what he said. Media, follow me now. What's happening? You've already welcomed us to service now. Verse 17. Excellent. Huh? He said, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over what? 10. More. Everybody say more. So listen to this. Abundance is trackable in the place of commitment to results. You are not permitted to be barren. So how do we stay fruitful? Is what I mean by fulfilling your personal ministry. This means that after finding out what God wants you to do, God wants done, this means that after you have found out what God wants done, you must now embrace and adopt it as the theme of your life. So if you have found out that God has graced you so that you would minister love to teenagers, or so that you would pastor or be an apostle vice flocks, or God have entrusted to you the ministry of prayers. He has told you, I have called you to be an intercessor. You're going to be praying for the body. Or I have called you into the field of business. I'm going to be using you to sponsor the work of my kingdom. Or I'm going to be using you to bring hope to the hopeless through songs. Or I'm going to be using you to bring the understanding of my love to the nations of the world, like Joyce Meyer. I was going through a mission statement. Or like Miles Moreau, I'm going to be using you to raise leaders in the third world nations. Or more primarily now, I'm going to be using you to attend to the orphans, orphan ladies, orphan females. They are exposed, they are vulnerable to sexual distractions. So I'm putting in you a special compassion towards those motherless females. You see, having received this assignment, the next thing you must do is to adopt it as the theme of your life. Write it down. Adopt it as the theme of your life. Now, that becomes your life's purpose, and that becomes your life's mission. Purpose and mission, they mean the same thing. The mission statement of a company is the company's purpose statement. Are you following me? Mission is simply saying, this is what I have been called to do. This is why I have opened this company. This is what this company will be doing. That is the mission of that company. So every believer must have a life's mission. So your life's mission now is a statement of the purpose of God you have discovered and you have adopted into your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me show you Apostle Paul's mission. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts of Apostles chapter 9. In verse 15, the Lord replied, "Go, this man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before the Gentiles." Now, this was God speaking to Ananias. Are you following me? This was God speaking to who? Ananias. If you read it from verse 13, please follow me very well. I don't want us to miss it. God was telling Ananias Apostle Paul's life's mission. What did God say? And don't forget, I told you, there is calling. There is some life's mission. They are what? They are calling. You did not search it out. You were called. He called you and told you. So this was what he did to Apostle Paul. See, he had already spoken to Paul before now. He had already spoken. He said, "I am Jesus." He said, "Now get up. You will be told what you must do." That's verse 6. We'll start from verse 6. You will be told what you must do. What is he talking about? Your life's mission. Glory to God. Now, verse 15. The Lord replied, "Go," he was telling Ananias, "this man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's go to that same Act of Apostles. But this time around, let's go to verse 22. Now, raise your head. The one we read in verse 9 was God telling Ananias, isn't it? Now, let's see the progression. Chapter 22. Now, verse 12. Paul was speaking. If you start from verse 3, Paul continued. So, it was Paul that was what? Speaking. Who is speaking here? Paul. Verse 12. "There was a certain man named Ananias. According to the standard of the law, he was a pious man who enjoyed the respect of all the Jews living there. He came to me and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' At that same hour, I looked up at him." Read on. "Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, while you are waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So he now began to talk about everything that happened to his life. Praise God. So the point I'm trying to bring out here is that Apostle Paul received his mission as a what? As a beckoning, as a calling. So you can find your life's mission as a what? As a calling. Praise God. And then, apart from that, you can find your life mission by itemizing and identifying the special gifts, spiritually first, that God has placed within you. Number two, you can also find your life mission by x-raying, itemizing, studying the special abilities you have. For example, some people have unique ability to sing. Some people have unique ability to speak. Some people have unique ability to write. Some people have unique ability blended in writing, in speaking, and just blends like that. And then another way you can find your life mission, which I did not mention yesterday, is by what I call the passion of your heart, the desires of your heart, the passion of your heart. So write that down. You can find your life mission by identifying that strong desire in your heart. Because the Bible says that he's the one that puts desires in our what? In our heart. He said, "Delight yourself in the Lord and I will give you the desires of your heart." Look up, everybody. For you, some people found their life mission as they became committed. They volunteered. They became passionate about what God was doing. They gave themselves to it. They committed themselves to it. And gradually, God began to put in them a special desires. Special desires. God began to put in them desires. Some, their desires were drawn towards the weak or the broken homes. Some, their desires were drawn towards ladies that are of marriageable age, especially the ones that have crossed 28, 29, 30. Somebody was sharing with me some weeks ago. He said, I just began having a strong desire and I had some visions, and God was leading me to ladies, single ladies that are 30 years and above. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Said that was what she was beginning to perceive, and she was beginning to work some things out, and I gave her some instructions. So you must understand that, like I told you, there is no single way we can find our life's mission, but one primary way we can find our life mission is by increasing or maturing in our relationship with God. As we begin to grow in our walk with Him, He begin to reveal so much to us. We'll hear His call, we'll identify our gift, we'll identify our talent, we'll come in line with our passions, and sometimes He will not use our experiences. Sometimes God can use your experiences to give you a mission. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that okay now? So having established that you found your life mission, the next thing you need to do is to set on course to fulfill it. So fulfilling your life mission. How do you fulfill life's mission? Now, this is where every one of you needs to pay a great deal of attention. And this is where we begin to ask questions like platforms, channels, assignments, work, career. Please write all these things down. As a believer, you must be able to explain it. You must be able to explain this. So you must understand it. I told you that after you have aligned with what God is doing, by adopting it as the theme of your life, it becomes your what? Your life's mission. So how do you fulfill your life mission? Please, listen to me now. You fulfill God's purpose for your life that you have discovered, which is now your life mission, by aligning it to a personal ministry and a career. So this is where, number one, personal ministry now comes in, and then number two, career now comes in. Are you following me? I will explain. Just try to follow me very well so that you don't get confused. Praise God. Purpose is doing what God wants done, how He wants it done, for the reason He wants it done. That's purpose. So you have now aligned with it. Now, there are two legs on which purpose is accomplished. The number one leg for the believer by which purpose is fulfilled is what we call personal ministry. Your life's mission can be divided into two legs. The number one leg is what we call personal ministry. The number two leg is what we call career. The world talks more about what? Career. That's where work now comes. But God's definition of work and the world's definition of work is not the same. God's definition of work is your personal ministry. What is your personal ministry? Your life's mission that you are carrying out. What is personal ministry? Your life's mission that you are what? Carrying out. So you don't need to allow me to go back to explain what life mission is. So you don't need me to go back to define life mission again. It's clear. So now, we are saying that because this is what you need to carry out, there are two legs by which you would carry them out. So, the man in Christ that wants to enjoy abundance must walk on how many legs? Two legs. Are you getting it? So the number one leg you are to walk with is what we call what? Personal ministry. Ministry means serving God's purpose to men. So that's the definition of ministry. Every believer has a personal ministry. So your personal ministry is the carrying out of your God-given assignment. That is what we call your personal ministry. Please write it down. Don't get it confused. Your personal ministry is your God-given assignment that you are what? Carrying out. It's not yet a personal ministry if you have not started carrying it out. Is that okay? So it is a personal ministry because you have realized that, okay, God has graced you with special ability to pray, to intercede, or special ability to give, or special ability to attend to orphans, special ability to attend to widows, special ability to counsel people that want to get married, special ability to do whatever it is he has called you to do in line with what he wants done. That's the channel by which you want the world to hear about Jesus. That is the channel by which you want the world to come to the knowledge of the love of God. That's the channel by which you want the world to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Praise God. Now, you have now adopted it as a theme for your life. Now, you are on course to do it. That path on which you decide to walk in carrying out that mission is called your what? Personal ministry. What is ministry? Ministry is serving God's purpose to men. So ministry is extending the love of God to men. Ministry is helping men to be edified. Ministry is helping men to come to the knowledge of Christ. Ministry is helping men to mature. Ministry is helping men to stay strong in God. That's ministry. It's like I'm too fast. Okay, let me slow down. Ministry is serving God's purpose to who? To men. Ministry is serving God's purpose to who? To men. Do we get that? Serving God's purpose to who? To men. Serving God's purpose to men. So whatever the purpose of God is, the moment you are bringing it to men, men benefiting from it, you are doing what? Ministry. So ministry, number one, is from God. Ministry is towards men. Ministry is from God. Ministry is towards men. So the moment you have adopted the purpose for which God has called you to live and you have aligned into it, you are into ministry. Every believer has a personal ministry. You need to discover it. Glory to God. So that's the first leg. Ministry is serving God's purpose to men. Now, the second leg is what we call career. Ministry is serving God's purpose to men. Career is serving your gifts and abilities to men. Ministry is serving God's purpose to men. The end point of ministry is men are vested into righteousness. The end result of ministry is men edified. The end result of ministry is men coming to the knowledge of God, coming to the knowledge of Jesus. The end result of ministry is men bearing fruit of the Spirit. The end result of ministry is men preparing other men for ministry. Are you understanding this? Is it clear? Are we following? Do you understand? Glory to God. So, the end point of ministry is God's end. That is why it is called ministry. Ministry starts with God, comes to man, and ends in God. Good. The second leg is what we call what? Career. Career. Career, from God's understanding or from scriptural understanding, is you serving your abilities, serving your gifts, serving your passion to your generation. That's what we call career. Let me give you the occupational definition of career, which is still the same thing what I'm saying. Go check your dictionary. Defines career as the sum total of your paid and unpaid job. That's what career is. Career is what you do, number one, to help people. To help people. Career is what you do to solve problems. Career is what you do to answer people's questions. Career is what you do to provide solution. Are you following me? That's number one. Number two, career is what you do that people pay you for. See, the purpose of ministry is not to make profits. Hello? Are you understanding this? The purpose of ministry is not to make profit. We don't do ministry to make profits. As a matter of fact, our reward for ministry comes from who? God. Not for the people we serve. Glory to God. Our reward for doing ministry does not come from the people we what? We serve. I'll come back to that, because there are some people that actually get their reward from the people we serve. They serve. I'll come to that. So, in summary, whether it is personal ministry, whether it is career, both of them must find their roots. Most of them, both of them must grow out of your life's mission. Are you here? That's where many people miss it. For some people, their life's mission is career minus personal ministry. So, their life is out of joint. They are not living their life in line with the reason God created them. For example, God has engraced you with special ability to communicate His word through songs. I mean, you are to reach out to your world, bring life, edify sense through good rhythms, like what Hillsong do, like what Sinash do. But right now, you are trapped in the four wall of a bank. Praise God. Now, it's not really that you are in the four wall of the bank and you are using your spare time to sing. As a matter of fact, you are in the four wall of the bank and the bank has colonized your entire life. In other words, your life's mission has K-leg. You are out of alignment. That's just it. Because you will not enjoy abundance there. That's why you will only struggle there. You will live in lack. You will live in debt. You will struggle there. Why? I've already established it, that God channels abundance to the place of our what? Of our life mission. So my career should be an offshoot of my life's mission. See, I hear you. Are you understanding me? If I have a gift of administration, the gift that God has given to me by His Spirit, my life's mission is to be an administration. I will do administration inside church. And if I'm going to work in Coca-Cola, what will I be doing there? Administration. That's how it's supposed to work. You look for a path that complements your life mission. Please, right, I'm telling you how to live a life that is going to be full. You live a life that is in line with your life's mission. And how does your life mission branch into your life? It branches into your life along two stems. Number one, personal ministry. Number two, career. If your life's mission is a calling, what is the implication? It means both your personal ministry and career becomes what? One. Meaning you don't have any career. You only have what? Ministry. Are you understanding it? That's what they call fivefold ministry. And someone will now ask me, where would they get their salary from? God already laid it down. He said the people that benefit from you, they will pay you. It's in Galatians chapter 6, is it verse 7, that you should pay those that preach to you. No, biblically, it is the people that get blessed by our ministry that to pay us. It's in scriptures. No, that's the idea behind tithes. Go and read tithes. You are farmers. Pastors are not farmers. So God told them, have no business with land. have no business with buying and selling, have no business with cultivating crops. The other tribes, they will do crops and they will bring a tenth portion of it to feed you. That's why Malachi was saying, bring them to the storehouse. Because when they need food, they go there to collect food. Why? Because their life's mission is their career and it's their personal ministry. In other words, they don't have any other career apart from attending to the temple. Are you understanding it? So that's why I said I was going to come back to that. Those are people that don't get paid from their job. There are some, like today, there are pastors who work and pastor. Praise God. Yeah. There is no law that says that because you have a calling to any of the fivefold ministry, you shouldn't work. No. Your work no longer becomes a career. You must understand the difference. Now let me explain the difference. If you are called, there is a call of God upon your life. It means your primary responsibility is to carry out that assignment, isn't it? So, meaning that even if you are going to be taking a job, because you already got a work, your work is the call. Is that okay? So, if you're going to be getting a job, that job must not encroach into your what? Your ministry calling. Are you seeing it now? So that's why you see some of these people, some of them have little small scale business, some of them are into agriculture, some of them own schools, they don't teach there, they just own the school, they have things, they are just channels. We'll come to that later. Praise God. Are you understanding it now? So the moment you discover your life's mission, what are the two things you now need to settle? Settle your what? Your personal ministry. And listen to this. The place where you get trained for your personal ministry is the local church. So the moment you discover your personal ministry, please go and submit to a local church. Says who? Says the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. There are men there to prepare you for ministry. Do we get that? So the moment you have come to realize that you have a personal ministry, whether it is to footballers, whether it is to basketballers, whether it is to orphans, whether it is to motherless, whether it is to kindergarten, whether it is to fatherless, whether it is to marriageless, whether it is to single above 30, whether it is to single under 20, whether it is to teenagers, regardless of the personal ministry you have, your first point of call is to go to a local church. And tell your pastor that, sir, by my work, I've realized that this is what the Lord wants me to do. There are people I don't joke with in this local assembly. When they came clear with clarity. They knew where they were going. So they said, sir, some of them wrote it and brought it. This is what the Lord has been impressing in my heart. And he has sent me here to come and be trained under you. That's how it's supposed to be done. The reason why so many are not benefiting from their personal ministry is because they want to be self-made. You can never be a self-made minister. We. Because every call of God starts from the church, profits the church, and will be given reward in the church. If you want to get a reward from God, you'll get it from the church platform. Are you following me? Is that okay now? So, personal ministry, go learn it in the church. But career, remember what I told you. What is career? What's career? Career is what you are doing to feed. No, let me not say what. No, it's not what you are doing to feed. Delete it. That's not it. You don't use career to feed. Praise God. What's the definition? Yes. Career is what you do to solve problems. Is that okay? To what? To solve problems. Number one. Number two, career is what you do to showcase your what? Your abilities, your skills. Is that okay? It's what you do to showcase your skills. So it is in your career you get paid. But some people, the idea of being paid is to feed. It's God that feeds us. Because we are on mission for Him. That's why I said career is not what you do to feed. Tell your neighbor, your career, your job cannot feed you. It is your work that supplies your needs. If it can get into your head, you will enjoy abundance for the rest of your life. Do you get that? So that's why in our next class, our next section tomorrow, I'm going to be showing you what's God's idea of we getting our needs met. What's God's idea for we getting our needs met? In other words, what's God's idea for us earning, especially as it relates to career? Personal ministry, the goal of personal ministry is to serve the spiritual gifts you have, spiritual abilities you have towards men, so that they can come to the knowledge of who Christ, so that they will be matured, so that they will do the same to those that comes. Career is because he has given you gift, like that Exodus 31. Bezalel have put in you the ability to work on all kinds of crafts. You see, most of us think that the only kind of gift that God gives to men is speaking in tongues or healing and miracles. See, God gives men special ability to design computers, to invent things. Everybody say witty inventions. See, God gives men capacity to solve problems of nations. Joseph was more like a government figure. How many of you know that? Daniel was more of a government figure. Where we are missing it as believers is being able to harmonize our personal ministry and what? Our career. That's where the big problem is. That's why I told you, if you get to the local church, you would be taught how to balance the two. So quickly, how do we fulfill purpose through our life's mission, our personal ministry, and our career? Number one, never make any career decision without first getting clarity of your personal ministry. Please, career is not your course of study. No. Because most people, because when I say never make career decision without first deciding or first understanding your life's, your personal ministry, most of you will be like, "But sir, I'm already a graduate." No. That's a certificate. That's not a career. It is when you start using it to what? To solve problem, when you start using it to meet needs of people, when you start using it to answer people's questions, that's when it becomes a what? That's when it becomes a what? A career. Are you understanding it? It's when you start using it to solve problem that it becomes a career. So right now, you may be a graduate, you may even have done masters, you may have done PhD. Listen, it's not yet a career until it has started solving what? Problem. So what I'm trying to say, in fact, is this. For you to live a fulfilled life, don't attempt to solve problems that are not in line with your life's mission. Are you following me here? Don't. I'll recommend the book by Mike Modock, The Assignment. Never attempt to solve a problem that is outside your what? Your life's mission. Let me give you a practical example. My life's mission is to bring understanding of purpose to men. That's my life's mission, to help people understand God's purpose for their life, which is to manifest His nature. Now, I understand that my life mission will require me to teach, will require me to write, will require me to communicate, will require me to answer questions. So, as God will have it, I began having a glimpse of my life's mission while I was finishing NYC. I started feeling a bit of it from secondary school, even into university, but it never became so clear and so setting like while I was finishing NYC. So at that point in time, I needed to make a decision about my career. Because at this point, I need to start earning something. And please, don't forget, the way God designed life, we earn by solving problems. We earn by solving problems. That's the reason why when you start running your career, whether it is a paid job or it's a philanthropy, somehow you will be paid. You will get money. People will tell you well done. People will give you an honorarium. People, money will come. See, money naturally goes to the direction of value. Money naturally flows to the direction of value. Any kind of value, spiritual value, emotional value, physical value, money flows in the direction of value. So your value is in your talent, is in your gift, is in your life's mission. Don't step out of it. Don't just wake up and say everybody is doing entrepreneurship. So now, since man must hustle, and then you just wake up and decide that you just want to sell bags. Now, there's nothing wrong in selling bags, but please know this, we are men on a mission. So have no business trying to solve a problem that is not in line with your life's mission. So that's why I started by telling you that abundance is in the place of purpose, and purpose is what gives birth to life mission. And life's mission is what now gives birth to what? Personal ministry. That's where you are now settled. So at that time, I needed to make that decision. So I read a lot of books, did a lot of things, but I was confused. So like I've always told people, I went to pray. And as I prayed, I just realized that the best thing for me to do right now is to get a job where there are youths. Because my life's mission is to bring the knowledge of God to young people as at that level, to bring the knowledge of purpose, to help young people find purpose. So I was like, if I go work in a construction company, I'm going to be seeing masons, builders, and only bricklayers and all those things. Praise God. As a coin surveyor, because that's what I read in school. And every profession always have a portion where you must directly serve people. Every profession, you will serve people. So I was like, it's either I go and serve in the construction industry. But the challenge with that is that I get joy when I talk, when I give counsel. So, and construction company work will be so taskful that the only time I will have for myself is Saturday and Sundays. And I will not have time to counsel, to do those things. So I now said, okay, based on my understanding of my personal ministry, the best place for me to start is in the classroom. And I was like, I can't teach in secondary school. Let me start from polytechnic. So that's what gave birth to where I am working today. That's why I'm doing what I am doing. Are you understanding it now? So I work and I'm able to do ministry. So I have adopted my personal ministry into my career too. So they are there. I try not to allow my career interfere with the personal ministry. In other words, stop me from progressing in personal ministry. And I try not to allow personal ministry to affect my commitment to the job. Now that's why the moment I begin to realize that the job is not demanding too much from me, that will not allow me to attend to my personal ministry, I'll resign. No, it's basic. So as long as the job is not interfering, which one is the precedence to me? Personal ministry. That's the priority. So that's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. You must set your life's priority. Don't go and open a shop in Alaba International Market that will be demanding your entire life, Monday to Sunday, and you now claim that God has called me to the ministry of intercession. You are deceiving yourself. There's no join. You get K-leg already. Hello? There are some kind of personal ministry that God has called you into that will never allow you to work in a bank. Is a bank job not good? It's good. But there are people who will still find fulfillment working in the world, in the financial sector. That's why I told you, you can't live your life from the lens of someone else. You can't say, but she be pastor now. Pastor, she be pastor. If they still they preach now, need they work for poly. Beg, let me go and work anywhere. Calm down. You should shall be calming down. Praise God. Because the starting point of misalignment, the starting point of living a struggleful life, is making choices that contradict your life's mission. Marriage choices. When we talk about marriage tomorrow, you will realize that the starting point of a failed marriage is marrying outside of your life's mission. He said, two can't work except they agree. Listen, sir. Marriage was ordained to make work easy. Work in this context is what? Life's mission. Please, in all of my discussion, anytime you see work, it's life mission. That's what we are talking about. And I now told you that that work is now what? Two. Either it's a personal ministry or it's a what? It's a career. So when you are working your work in your career, it's called a job. That's why you don't pick up a job because of the salary. You don't pick up a job because of the benefits. You pick up a job because it gives you a platform to carry out your personal ministry. Let me stop here so that we'll take questions. 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 Wherever you are listening to me, you can send in your questions so that we'll be able to take them, and then just think about it. Whatever question you have, maybe a personal question, I don't expect us not to be questionless, because this is a very, very fundamental issue. I welcome one of our ministers to take that section, Shibike Emmanuel. Okay, Shibike, okay. Let's put things together for him as he comes forward.
Thank you, sir. I still want to remind us that the question is both online and offline. So, for those of us that are presently here, if you have any question, you can just raise your hand, then we'll pass the mic across to you. Then, those of us that are following online, you can send in your questions to either the church platform, or you can send it to Minister Tomiwa. His number has been sent to several of all the display channels, the contact channels. Yeah, we can be reached. All right, so there's a question we have here to start with. Okay, it says, yesterday you talked about two ways of finding our mission. You also repeated it today before you talked about life mission. It says, based on the second way, which is identifying gifts and graces, how do I now discover my life mission when I have several gifts and graces that I'm very good at? Several gifts, talents, and things that I'm very, very good at.
Praise God. Yes, that's a very, very important question, because for me, that was my biggest challenge. That was my biggest challenge, especially if you are this type that is gifted in so many things, and you are this type that is very curious to learn, and you can learn almost anything. And let me begin by saying that you can never be good in everything, no matter how well you try. So the first thing to do is to come to the realization that in as much as it looks like a strength, it can become a weakness if you don't tell yourself the truth. Never say, I'm jack of all trades, I can do all things. In this contest now, praise God. In the context of fulfillment, you can only find fulfillment in doing that one thing. It may have other streams, other channels, but its root must be one. So how do I know the very one thing that I should do? Like I said, the starting point is to have a very good relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, this is not trying to sound spiritual. assignments, calling, workings is spiritual. So there is no way you can find who you really are if you don't have a personal spiritual walk with God. See, the difference between my life now and my life 10 years ago is just one. I have grown in my walk with God. And that walk with God has now helped me to know that, Steve, you cannot do everything. Sometime last year, I had to shut down my computer business and some things I was doing. Why? I can't do everything. And you must understand that in your life, you only have 24 hours in a day. And in as much as you believe that the mind can multitask, why not multitask in one direction? We're talking about the power of consistency. Just imagine doing one thing in many, many ways. You do well. Do you understand? So, in as much as I want to say, oh, I'm good, I can do all things, I can multitask. Okay, I now told myself, okay, multitask in that one field. So, I had to shut down many other things. It's not easy, but that's the first truth you just have to tell yourself. So that when you'll be dropping one, for some people, they have learned more than 7 different trades. They have learned barbing, they have learned selling, buying and selling, they have learned Bitcoin, they have learned this fashion, this. They have learned many things. That's career-wise. Spiritually, they have given themselves to so many, many ministries. They are in an apostolic ministry, they are in a prophetic ministry, they are in a singing ministry, they are in a drama ministry, they are just in everything that sounds like ministry. Now, it's zeal. You know, when we start, we have zeal. I want to work for God. So you go to the church, they make you the head of drama. They needed to have choir. Nobody was available to say, okay, bro, you have to do drama and choir together. Now, it's now time for them to take care of the children and say, ah, bro, see, you have to do choir, drama, and children. So you don't realize that because you have been given too many responsibilities, rather than using it to learn faithfulness, you now conclude that you are a brother of different shades. Because truly, at some point in our life, God will take us through those many responsibilities. But your eye must be what? Single. It might just be to teach you faithfulness. But you must know that one. Are you following me? It's just like, for example, maybe someone like Bosse now, we now said, okay, we need a children department in the church and there are nobody. I will now say, okay, Bosse, you have to take care of the children. That does not mean that Bosse will now suddenly wake up and say, I have a personal ministry towards what? Children. It might just be timing. That's why I told you to go and get that series, Life on a Mission. I said fulfillment is tied to identity, purpose, and timing. Timing is very core. There are some things that God will need you to do for a period of time to learn a particular virtue, not to do that thing for the rest of your life. So in all of these, the number two, I said number one, accept that you can't do everything. Number two, understand that there is a one thing you are to do. How do you identify that one thing? Scale all those things you do. That's what I did. Scale them. 1 to 10. Scale them. You will see that you will not rate 9 in all of them. You will not rate 8 in all of them. Just be sincere. So you will not see that very one. Do it prayerfully now. Do it prayerfully. You will not see that very one that stands out. And for me, that very one stood out. And that's why in ministry, I know that I find I have a message to help people discover purpose. But that one thing he has made sure and made me know I'm to do is to raise men, disciple making. That's the one thing I know. He has made me know that my assignment is to raise men. And I'm doing everything to create more capacity to do that. Praise God. So along the line, you will know that very one thing he wants you to do. It will not just come all of a sudden, but please, when it is time to let go of some weight, even if it means closing down some of your business, closing down some of your WhatsApp group, please, don't be scared to do it. That's when you will start seeing fruit. Praise God.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for that response. We have another question here. Good evening, sir. This question is talking about people group. How can one be sure of their particular life ministry? I know I have the ministry of teaching and with the privilege to lecture. I enjoy being able to impact people. but how do I know the particular people to teach?
Glory to God. Yes, I have already mentioned something, that the particular people to teach can come in line with the calling. If it is a calling, like this, we saw Apostle Paul, God told him the people he was sending him to. And seriously, if you really understand how God works, how he speaks, you have taken yourself through all of your work with God, you have a good relationship with God, he will show you the people. He will show you. That's basic. Then apart from that, you must also be ready to volunteer. Be ready to volunteer. There are a lot of things we may never be able to discover about our life's mission if we stay away from the local church. When I say volunteer, there are two places you can volunteer. You can volunteer in the local church alongside an organization, especially if there is a career undertone in what God wants you to do. If it is purely ministry, go and volunteer in a local church. Just stay there. Follow very well. See, these things are not rocket science. The reason why we find it difficult to discover purpose most times is that most of us want to be lone rangers. Most of us want to be self-made. The day you genuinely give yourself to working in your local church, you will easily find purpose. Do I have witness here? No, that's the truth. Because God sends, like our head of ministry was talking about the other day, God says so literally in family. When you come into family, you will find your identity. You can't find your identity isolated. So when you come into the family, because everything God wants you to achieve in this life, he has already routed it through where? The local church, the local body of believers. Find your midst, yourself in the midst of believers. Sometimes it might even be a group of people you are praying together with. Maybe you are just praying and praying. Like he did, separate for me who? Paul and Barnabas. For the work I have called them. So, these are the two ways. Number one, give yourself to having a solid relationship with God. And then number two, commit yourself to volunteering in a local church. Submit to a pastor. Follow him very well. Don't come in with mind that, my calling is musical. We die in music. No. Come in with a desire to get what? Clarity. And just be following. It might just be one day. It might be along the path. God will just bring a clear vision to you. Because he knows that truly your heart is set to fulfill purpose. Glory to God.
There's another question here. You said prayer brings clarity. Recently I've been having a burden to influence those around me. Is that a signal? You say prayer brings clarity. What can one do if one has prayed but is still not really sure?
If you have prayed and you are not really sure, what do? You pray more. You pray more. The hallmark of fulfillment is timing. Everything has a time. Don't rush. It was Hagin that said, it is better to be too late than to be too fast. Pray more. God is not under rush. How many of you know that they wanted to make David king of Judah at the time? They even made him king. There was a time they wanted to make him king. He said, no, I cannot be king over Israel. Saul is still alive. He stayed. How many years? 17 years. Stayed until he became king. So, don't be in a hurry. Listen to this, please. Forget about youthful exuberance. God will only reward you for what he sent you to do that you did. Every other time, go and do training. Just go and be training yourself. Submit somewhere in your local church. Just be learning. Be training, be learning. Bible study, do it. Come to church, sit down. Your pastor said, do this, do it. Along the line, you see that people group, it will come as clear as the rising of the morning sun. There will be no vagueness. God is not a God of vagueness. It's we that sometimes we go and erect things that we are not supposed to erect. God is laying a burden in your heart, for example, to influence people. And because to you, all the people around that are influencing people, they have a WhatsApp group, a WhatsApp page. They are doing 1 7-hour tonguing. So you just decide that, oh, that one will influence. See, you might go and do it, and that thing, instead of it to influence you, it will retard you. It will stagnate you. So the point I'm trying to establish is this. In the process of fulfilling mission, there is a place of readiness. There is a place of preparedness. There is now a place of clarity. All of these will come in the process of time. That's why Life in a Mission, Part 1 to 4. Please go and get that series. It will help you a lot.
Thank you, sir. I think this will be the last question for today. Please, for those of us that will be sending in our questions, we are advised to make it very, very short and precise and as concise as possible so that we can understand. This one is a bit long, and I don't really know what the person wants to achieve from the question. It says, what if peradventure you find yourself in a ministry that you're actually not supposed to be, but because of maybe spiritual growth and the activities in the ministry, you feel like it will help you spiritually? Now, you were once in a ministry before, and you have taken your time to devote yourself to that ministry. But because of change of location, you now find yourself in another ministry while you are still having passion for the previous one. There is no question again following. So maybe the person that sent in this question should try to rephrase it and make it
Let me come in. I think okay. I can get a clue to what the person is saying. The truth is, God deals with us in different ways. The way he prepares A may not be the way he prepares B. And when God sends you to a local church, what he wants to do in your life through the local church is to prepare you for work both in the local church and outside the local church. You must understand that that's why it's called career and ministry and personal ministry. Some of our personal ministry is within the local church. Most of our personal ministry is what? It's outside the local church. Our career is outside the local church. So sometimes career can move us away from a particular location. And please, you should be able to permit it because God has approved it. And if he approves it for you to leave a particular location to another location for career reason or for whatever reason, I'm so sure he has prepared an assignment for you there. So it's not left for you to go and seek for clarity. But like I said, one of the challenges we have had over time is because most believers have not been trained in this direction. They've not maybe listened to this kind of teaching. So they just make decisions out of emotion. Do you understand? For example, somebody just decides that, okay, I'm going to work. And then the job comes and the job will be done in Bielsa. And God has given him an assignment to go and do a training or do something in Lagos. See, your life is a life on a mission. So I see no reason why you should just wake up and carry your load and go to a location that is not in line with your mission. Do you know how many people have denied a particular kind of job because it will take them away from a particular location at a particular time in their life? Lots. At least I know of many. So if truly you want to live life to the fullest, understand that there is a place called divine direction. Isaac was to leave Gerar for Egypt. What did God tell him? Stay. And in that land, Isaac walked and he had abundance. Don't forget, we are talking about abundance. The reason many people, for example, are in Lagos and they are dying of lack is because they think that abundance is in state capital. No, abundance is in mission capital. It is when you are at the center of mission that abundance will locate you. Praise God. Praise God. I wouldn't have been more blessed than I am if I was in Abuja. I could have only been more blessed in Abuja if Abuja is the what? Is the direction. Everywhere God directs, He blesses. That's why it's called obedience, divine direction. So, the point I'm trying to establish is that if God, for any reason, told you to go to that location, you can still be in touch with where you have left, but please settle into your present location. There is a place of assignment. You may not have discovered it. Spend time to pray. Keep praying. Don't be in a hurry. These are not things we do out of what? Emotions. No. You go to a location, you can, because Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren. You can go to a church, sit at the back, spend time there, but you are still clarifying where God is what? He's sending you to. You can even go there for as long as 2, 3, 4 weeks. But the moment the clarity comes, you shift into where He's telling you to go. Praise God. Glory to God. Have we been blessed tonight? None of us here have questions. We all understand. Huh? God bless you, sir. Okay, there's a question. Okay. Okay, there's a question from yesterday. Please help her with the mic. Please give her the mic quickly. Please, this, I don't want you to just sit down and assume you know. This is questions. That's the beauty of this kind of interactions. If you don't ask questions, I will not know if you are confused or if you don't understand. Please, let's get the question. It's past 7 already.
Okay. The question says, is it possible for one to have a grace on a particular thing and not following? And the grace or ability to do that thing still be available? I think it should be a rephrasal of the first question we answered, like another form of it. Different gifts and abilities.
Read the question.
Is it possible? Let me just read it the way the person sent it. For one to have grace on a particular thing and not following, and the grace or ability to do that thing still be available?
Okay. No, it's not the same with the first question. It's a very different question. Praise God. Praise God. I've had people, there are two directions that question is going. Please, let's listen. Now, is it possible to have grace in a particular direction and you are not walking in that direction and the grace will still remain? Listen, the reason why God gives us gifts is so that His kingdom will profit from it and we will profit from it. And the gift of God are without repentance. God does not take gifts back. But just like what you do not use, you will not benefit from it. So it will look like something that is dormant. It's just like you having an account in First Bank. And for years you did not use the account. It's internet. They will put the account on what? Dormant. No activity can happen from that account. So if you have a gift and you have not aligned it to a personal ministry path, that gift will not be taken from you, but that gift will be what? Will be dormant. Because the grace of God flows in the direction of work. That's why He said, he that will not walk, let him not eat. Literally now. Spiritually, it's the same thing. For example, you have the capacity to harvest cassava. And the time to harvest cassava comes and you decide not to come out. You are at home sleeping. The people that go to harvest cassava, some came with 15, some came with 20, and you are complaining that nothing got to you. Will anything get to you? No. Now, is it because you don't have the capacity to harvest cassava? No. It's because you never put that capacity to what? To work. Is that okay? Praise God. And then, the second direction of that question perhaps is, is it possible for you to have grace in an aspect and be busy in another aspect? What will happen? Listen to this. if you go and walk in a place you don't have grace, you will be disgraced there. Abi? Because, no, that's actually what made me to actually collapse so many things in my life. Let's take, for example, this person is gifted by God to write. You are gifted by God to serve people by giving. You now abandon giving. You now want to start writing. Now, when you are that person that is gifted to write, meet, for example, now, life is not competition. But, for example, in a competition, who will beat the other? So, meaning that if it is me now, I'm competing with my gift, I will be doing myself disservice. Because my ability and giftings is in serving, giving people. I do it without stress. But because serving people or giving is not looking so attractive, people don't stand on the pulpit to do it. You have to be hidden. You know, that's one of the reasons many people leave their place of assignment. They just want to be in front. They want to stand where people see them. See, it's not people seeing you. It's God seeing you. He's the one that gave you the assignment. So some people's assignment are to stand in front. Some people's assignment are to stay behind. So regardless of the assignment, please don't abandon your place of gifting for another place of zeal or enjoyment. No, there is no pleasure outside of graces. As a matter of fact, imagine if a fish decides that it's no longer going to be swimming in water. That you see, I like the way fridge is. I want to be like ice water and merinda that will be staying inside fridge. What will happen to the fish? It die. That's just it. So when you leave the place where your gift, your place of personal ministry, your place of personal ministry, your place of your life mission, and you go and be attending to somebody else's life mission, you will be disgraced there. Because number one, grace will not flow in that direction. The only grace that will be flowing in your life is the grace of salvation. But grace for ministry will not flow. Because grace for ministry flows in the direction of ministry. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Grace for ministry flows in the direction of ministry. So please, make up your mind to align your life to a personal ministry. So if you are listening to me and you have not gained clarity of your personal ministry, December retreat is yours to attend. Go on a retreat. Tell God, I don't want to enter into 2021 clueless. Hello? I don't want to enter into 2021 aimless. At this stage of your life, resources are slim. Stop saying any online course I have to go and attend. Any online course. Every time you live your life outside of your course, you start living like one that is under a course. That's just how it is. When you don't adopt a course to follow, it will look like course is following you. Because any other place you go to, you will be rejected. So you know that's how it works. Because you are not fitted into that place. But when you now find the place God wants you to be and develop all the capacities there, what will happen to you? People want to be with you. Because you look like what you actually are. Lay your hands on your head and pray one prayer. Lord, I step into 2021 with clarity. Clarity of my personal ministry and clarity of my career path. Maybe you are here, you have a disposition towards career. You are not called into a special place in the fivefold. There is a career path. And right now you are confused which path to take. Job offers are coming. You are confused which one to accept. Please, I challenge you. Go on a retreat. Seek Father. Ask him. One of the questions you should ask him is, which time, which season are you in your life's mission? Which season are you? Please, if you are in the season of preparation, it means a fundamental part of your choice, a fundamental factor in accepting any job, is that it will not take all of your time. It must not take all of your time, because the focus of that season is training. And training means your mind is available to learn. So whatever job you are taking must not take your time. I know of some people that told me, sir, I can't work anywhere else except in secondary school. And you see, they are fulfilled. They are not any big salary, as it were. Because listen to this, what you earn is a function of your personal ministry and your career path. If you only use career to determine earning, you will never enjoy the add-ons that come from mission. The add-ons that come from mission, they are always directed to the place of mission. They are always directed to the place of personal ministry. They are always directed to the place of personal ministry. We must not allow our ministry to suffer because of our job. Your fundamental work is to work the work of the Father. Your fundamental work is to have time for personal fellowship. Your fundamental work is to have time to reach out to souls. Your fundamental work is to have time to fast and to pray, to have time to edify the saints, to have time to serve in a local church. And at this time, you must give yourself to all the training. And then along the line, if the Lord is not leading you to marketplace influence, to be a voice in media, to be a voice in government, to be a voice in banking, to be a voice in any of the sectors, in entertainment, it means you must take time to take root downward. And that's where the local church becomes important. That's where the role of teachers, the role of equippers, the role of mentors now come in. Oh, Shadadabadaya. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord. All the clarity that I need. All the clarity that I need. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, everybody. Can we combine our personal ministry with a career? Answer. Can we? Can we? Can we? It's not absolute yes. Yes, if it is not a calling. Even if it is a calling, there must be a timing. Praise God. Every called, I mean now fivefold, their career is in their what? In their calling. So they can't have any career anywhere else. Praise God. They can't have, you can't say, for example, that the Adeboyena, you say he has a career in lecturing. No. He will always tell you, I left lecturing, so his life is what? His ministry. The only thing you will remember it from for is that he's a minister. So they have collapsed all their life and they have abandoned it. Every other thing for ministry. So for you that is into help, there are two set of people in the body. Those that are called into the fivefold, fourfold, some people call it, and those that are helps. Those that have ministries that are to support the overall progress of what God is doing. So if that is where you belong, along, because see, if you are singing in a church, for example, except the church is like Hillsong and all this big church, that's why they will pay you salary. Praise God. But at the end of the day, if you sing some places, some people sing and they walk. But what they always make sure they do is the job will never be the priority. Please, your work should be your priority, not your job. As we leave tonight, please go home. Reflect on this. Look at it deeply. Never allow your job to be the priority. What should be the priority? Your work. What is your work? Your life's mission. That is your work. Praise God. Glory to God. As you go tonight, understanding flows into your heart. As you look intently and expressly on these things, you are not confused. Clarity is coming. In ways it has never come before. in the name of Jesus. You are entering into 2021 more clearer than you have ever entered any new year before now. In the name of Jesus. You will not wander. You will not be aimless. You will not be here and there at the same time. Your life will be the one that is set like a flint. You will walk on your path. You will not break ranks. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Surely, those goodness and mercies follow.